Well?
It's just after I see a movie, I like to go get a piece of pie and talk about it. It's sort of a little tradition I have. Do you like to get pie after you see a good movie?
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast. I am Oscar, and with me today is
Ralph,
and returning co-host
Luke.
Luke question mark? Was that a Luke with a question mark at the end?
I don't know.
I think so. Well, that's how it sounded on my end. Coming
from
Palm Summer. What is it?
Palm Springs.
Yeah, Palm Springs, Nevada.
California.
California, right. It's Luke. For those who have been with us since, not the beginning necessarily, but for a while longer than a year, you would know his voice. How are you doing, Luke?
I'm doing great.
That's fascinating. So anyways, let's get this show going.
Wow, what a dick. He just wants to skip it out. But you're doing good? I mean, have you been there this entire time?
No, I spent last year in most of Alaska, rural Alaska, so that's why I haven't been on the show.
Is there such thing as a non-rural
I can't watch anything
in Alaska?
There.
Anchorage?
Yes, like three towns.
I named one of them.
Three towns. I know.
And I only went to one of them for 7 weeks.
I know you've also been really, you've been having fun though, right? From what I could tell every time I hear you talk about it, right? Or no, has it been
devastating?
It's
been a blast. Yes and no.
Yes. There's ups and downs. Because I know I saw you, well, I saw you a few times over the year, but I saw you mainly at our big Christmas party and stuff. And you said that you expressed interest in doing a couple of shows here, at least through mics, through our phones and stuff. We should think of a Skype, too, in the future if it's possible, too, because I know that's super easy to do, too.
Discord.
Turns out to be annoying.
Huh? Yeah, or Discord, yeah.
More Discord, yeah. Anyway, but I'm glad you're okay. Later on, when we have more time, or actually time crunch a little, we'll catch up with you a little better. But it's great to have you back, at least for a couple shows or for whatever you can. So let's start the show. This is episode number 96. And for those of you guys who don't know how we do it, we typically review three movies. That is not the case this time, though. We will be talking about the Oscars / the Academy Awards. I think it's their 100 and something. I lost track. I don't know. And we're going to be talking about the winners, some of the categories, some of the gripes we might have had or positive notes to share regarding the ceremony itself or the nominees in general. And normally what we do is that we do predictions. But because 99 times out of 100, they've been releasing the Oscars at the end of February, the last Sunday. And this time they did the second Sunday, and it threw us off. And we all should have just looked it up in advance. But we barely care about award shows. It's just a fun thing that everyone knows about, and we just talk about it because it's popular and stuff. So, but here we are, postpartum on the Oscars. So that's what we'll be doing today, as well as recent discoveries. That's pretty self-explanatory. So why don't we get into that right now? Recent discoveries. Luke, you're going to start us off since you've been gone in AWOL. You have three movies for us. Why don't you start off telling us what you've been watching?
All right. First we have is a documentary called Not For Resale. And it's a video game store documentary.
Oh.
And it's a... it was an Indiegogo-funded project that I got into really late in the game. I got towards the very end of it. And pretty much that's what it is. It's a documentary about small local video game stores and the people that started it up, what they're still doing, and things of that nature.
And what's the...
it's a very, niche thing.
It's like a niche, right? Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to think of the word and you said it.
Right.
It feels like one of those things, it's a life that lives outside the corporate sphere of, stores, right? Because they're for, not for resale, they're used copies, right? And they're probably older material, older systems, older...
Yeah, pretty much, because, right. All the new stuff's going all digital, so it's, all the physical media from the past.
Yeah. Do they talk about the business model?
I mean, a lot of these guys know that it's not going to last forever. Huh. And at the end of the documentary, like a couple of the stores had already shut down after the fact, after they filmed. And yeah. they actually show you that. And it's kind of depressing because there was even one place in Chicago that they featured. And then I was like, oh, I don't remember this place. And I looked it up. It's permanently closed.
Wow. Wow. It's like that disc replay store, right? Kind of like that? That we have here?
Yeah, but these are just that were primarily video game only focused, though.
Right, right, right. But that one had like video games in addition to like older movies and stuff.
Right, cool. Yeah. And those still exist.
So how was the project... Success? Was it successful for you?
Oh, wait, was there a what?
You say this movie was a project, right?
Yeah, it was like a Kickstarter, but it was through Indiegogo.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it was a success. I got my Blu-ray. I got my digital code. I'm happy.
Oh, nice. Good. That's good. Is it out there in the world yet, or no? Or did you just get it first?
Yeah, I think you can buy the Blu-ray already, or if not, because I know they sent it to backers first. So, but I think in a week or two, you're going to be able to buy it and watch it on Vimeo, because that's where I got the code for, was to watch it on Vimeo.
Nice, nice. All right, so that's not for resale. What else you got here?
My next one is going to be, it's a long title, it's called Machia, When the Promised Flower Blooms. It's it's an anime that I picked up last year, and I finally got around to watching it. It's about like a 2-hour long movie. It's a very high fantasy drama.
Roughly.
So it's about these beings called the Eorphs. They look like, you know, they look like people, but they never age past like adolescence, and they live for like hundreds and hundreds of years. And essentially it becomes, you know, it's like a fantasy thing. So they get conquered. This one Eorph girl finds this like little baby boy that his mother was killed, and she's like 15 at this time, and she like takes care of him. And it's a lot of political stuff. It's, you know, feuding kingdoms, that kind of thing, you know.
Is I only it like picked modern? It up because is the it like future tech, or is it like set in a different?
No. It's all old school, like medieval fantasy type right. stuff. Yeah, there's dragon or a dragon, you know, things of that nature.
Okay.
Yeah. It was okay. I only picked it up because I think it's the same studio that did A Silent Voice, or maybe the same publisher. So I had higher expectations for it.
Yeah, the A Silent Voice. That's the one with the school bullying, right?
Right, and the sign language thing, yeah.
Right, right, right. There was other things in it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. It was very strange, but I liked it. But a yay or nay, or like a mild yay on this one?
Some people might actually like this one. Maybe I'm going to rewatch it one day, see if I like it any better.
All right, cool. That's Machia, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, not Machia? I almost said Machia.
I don't know. I'm going to say Machia or Machia. I don't know.
Right. Right. And you have this last one. This last one I really want to see. So,
like I said, it's not as good as Your Name. I still liked it, though. And yeah. Who hurt you, Shinkai? Who hurt you? It does have a little, you know, things where it's this girl who can kind of control the weather. It's pretty much Japan has this huge streak of where it rains every day. And she's able to kind of like pray the rain away for like a short amount of time for people. So...
I liked it.
But how is the anime? Is the animation style similar to his previous stuff that you've seen?
Oh yeah, it definitely has that Shinkai look to it. Okay. You know, that one that, you know, he's always got those like awesome like landscapes, and like he uses the same places, you know, for like from Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, right. And it's funny because I actually recognized some of the places from my trip there. Like the Shinjuku train station, that's right where I stayed next to.
That's cool.
And some of the buildings. Okay. I think the movie theater, I wanted to actually see Weathering With You, was actually shown in there as well.
Huh. Awesome.
So,
I really want to see it. It just came out of theaters. Unfortunately, just left theaters recently. But I'm sure everyone will be able to catch
so
it
hopefully
on iTunes.
I saw it. It was good.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I think G Kids is going to be releasing it sometime this year on like DVD and Blu-ray. All
right. All right, next up here is Roth on the chopping block. If you have seen three, we all have three here. So you saw the new Bad Boys movie, Roth. Pray tell, how was that?
Oh, yeah. Bad Boys for Life. Mike Lowry and Marcus Bennett.
What did you say?
Mike Lowry. That's how he says it the whole time. That's why I have to say it for you. Anyways, it was all right. It was Bad Boys. It wasn't Bad Boys 2.
But yeah.
Nothing is.
No, Bad Boys 2 is pretty good.
Yeah, it was a fun movie overall.
The rare sequel better than the original.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fun movie overall. Don't get me wrong. It was cool. But obviously, it still has a message. It still has a cool little thing going on. All the jokes that you saw from the trailers are done early. So it's cool, I guess.
Are done early.
But yeah, other than that, it was a cool action flick. I went to go see it on a Tuesday, and I forgot it was Tuesday. And I swear I was going to have this movie theater by myself.
Right.
I got a ticket. I was like, oh, look, the only one getting a ticket. Not a problem. I show up an hour later when the movie starts. The theater's packed, and I was like, fuck, it's $5 Tuesdays. So
was it all the old people?
No, a lot of younger people. And then I saw people from work. And I was like, oh, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But other than that, it was a cool action movie. Martin Lawrence is fat. They make fun of him. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, he's not like...
Hey, he's not really fat.
No, he's not an action star.
Like, no, he's not an action star.
Keep up with that. You know?
No. He's not Will Smith.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, few people are. One is, actually. No one but Will Smith is Will Smith, unless you saw the Ang Lee movie from last year. I figured it was like, eh. But okay, but good.
Yeah, but okay, good, I guess.
Gotcha. What's next?
The other movie I saw was... I forgot which order I put this in.
Oh, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I put Jay and Silent Bob Reboot first because I wanted to end it with the other one, with Oscar. Yeah, the Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. This was a hard movie to watch, even for me. And I'll bring it up because...
I agree.
Don't get me wrong, it was... The second half of this movie is way better, I think, once they encounter the daughter. And it connects everything from all the old Jay and Silent Bob stuff. So any of their antics they've done. But they literally bring they call back every character from all their movies.
Yeah, it seems like...
Yep, that was the best.
That is like the cool part of the movie.
Right, because we've seen them all.
That's a feat in its own, right? And
there's like, what, 6 movies that Jay and Silent Bob are in?
Yeah, I think so.
And
then they had Chasing Amy in there.
And then they had their own.
Yeah, Chasing Amy's their own standout movie, and you know.
Right. So, the very first half is kind of annoying because it's just kind of like callbacks, and everybody feels old, and it just kind of feels forced. And then I guess the movie kind of progresses along, and then it introduces the younger element of the crew, of the movie. Which, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I guess it's a big reveal, but whatever. And then the movie kind of does this big meta thing with, what's it called? Kevin Smith being in it, directing a Jay and Silent Bob movie, or a Blunt Man and Chronic movie, should I say. And this craziness and stuff like that. So, it was overall, like, it was supposed to make you feel good, I guess. Cool feat in its own. Even for a person who likes like the Kevin Smith movies and a bunch of everything I've grown up with, it was kind of still hard to watch that beginning half. But yeah, it was all right.
I do want to catch it. It does seem like it's the whole thing drives on your on the audience who've seen his other movies.
It's almost like a wrap up of everything. Like, hey, you're never gonna get these guys again. We're just going to show them to you, like, what they've been doing, what they've been going on.
I mean, and that's essentially what it is. So I want to see it. Yeah,
That's why I saw it. But like I said,
it's on my iTunes account.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you bought it, Luke?
Yep.
Nice. So you saw it already then. What did you think, similarly as rough or better or worse?
Yeah. Like I said, the only cool part is, like, all the cool throwbacks and, like I said, Chasing Amy. Right. Okay. Kind of what happened after in their lives and everything like
right,
that.
Right,
so.
Right. Okay, yeah. I mean, I did kind of wonder sometimes. That's awesome. That's Jane, Silent Bob Reboot, right? And then your last movie here, Ralph.
My last movie is a movie that we'll probably talk about in the future of this episode. Is 1917.
Nice.
And I got to catch this. This is a movie directed and written by Sam Mendes. Also written by Christy Wilson Cairns. Anyways, pretty cool movie. Actually, not as for a war movie. It's shy of 2 hours, hour 59.
Yeah.
And I say that because most war movies feel like they're uber long and this drawn out
story.
Some
of them are very long.
And some of them are very long, yeah. But this was a fun movie. Fun movie as in, like, I had fun watching it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to...
It's not really saying it's fun is weird, but it was, I gotta say, it was compelling. Really cool just to watch this message being delivered in World War One.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And it's also, it felt like, I like that it was so contained in its own, like, this little echo, its own like little capsule of what just happened in this minutia part of a war, but it was very momentous at the same time. It didn't feel like everybody in the world war, and everybody in the war knew what he was doing. Just the it was that important, though, that it was important enough for us to know this story,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's so cool about the movie. Also, I think that kind of it heightens the movie. And just the fact that what he goes through and everything that happens, or what they go through, should I say. But yeah, that was a really cool movie, really cool story. And yeah, I had a lot of fun watching the movie, and I'm glad I watched it in theaters before it got gone.
It got gone.
Got gone, yeah.
Was it better than Dunkirk?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, it was way better. I mean, 100%. Not to segue into me, but I saw it too. Separately, though, from Rob. But yeah. The whole movie is like a Birdman kind of experiment.
Yeah.
Where it's made to look like it's one giant take. There's one.
Oh, really?
Yes. You didn't know that, Luke?
No, I didn't know about... I mean, I knew about Birdman, but not this one.
Oh, no.
I knew nothing of this movie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't try to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to catch it because the spectacle of that... I mean, a war movie, like, made to look like a shot in one take is pretty bold. You can imagine how intricate it will be. Obviously, a lot of walking for the camera to follow or in cars is funny seeing.
There's a very nerve-wracking scene when they go through No Man's Zone in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, No Man's Zone, yeah.
No Man's Land, yeah.
Or this one thing with a plane and his buddy, a plane that gets, like, downed right next to the barn where they're at. Pretty cool, really great spectacle. This movie has great spectacle. And the visuals are pretty amazing. Obviously made by the guy who... I mean, shot by the guy who won the... Anyway, we're not talking about the Oscars yet, but the pretty great guy who did Skyfall and Sicario. He shot out great movies like that. Anyway. yeah, but the movie is... it's a harrowing. I don't know if the story feels like a lot of it. It seems like the story is simple and it's kept simple to just focus on... How war was like maybe back then, how war was this for the character itself, how war is in general maybe, how random it is, or it can be from one moment to the next.
Yeah.
I think it captures well in the spectrum of it looking like one shot, you know, so I think it does well. It's a really good movie. I mean, Sam Mendes knocked it out pretty well. Still no Road to Perdition, I'd say, but it's pretty great, pretty great. So that's 1917. I also saw that too. I have another movie here I saw from Netflix, or out of Netflix. It's called Dolomite Is My Name. It's an Eddie Murphy movie, or he stars in it. Eddie Murphy portrays a real-life legend, Rudy Ray Moore, a comedy and rap pioneer who proved naysayers wrong when his hilarious, obscene, kung-fu-fighting alter ego, Dolomite, became a 1970s blaxploitation phenomenon. And it should say something that, well, I have heard of these movies that Dolomite's character is based out of. I've never actually seen those blaxploitation movies. Obviously, because even though Luke's protest, I'm actually not that old. But secondly, you know, I just never grew up. Fucking Christ.
Old ass motherfucker.
This is directed by Craig Brewer, who's a really good director. He did Hustle and Flow and Black Snake Moan. I haven't seen his other stuff, but those two movies are pretty. They're very stylish and unique and to his own way, and I love it. And this movie's pretty great in the same way too. So this movie also has Mike Epps, Craig Robinson, Keegan-Michael Key, Titus Burgess, a lot of people. Snoop Dogg's in this for a bit. It's great. It's
Wesley Snipes. Did you mention him?
Huh?
Wesley Snipes? No, I don't think he did.
No, not yet. Snipes? Sorry, Wesley's. I am not going through everyone. Oh. But Chris Rock is in it too.
I'm not going to.
No, just a lot of people. I was just mentioning the top bill.
It's his comeback.
Who? Chris Rock?
Wesley Snipes. Okay.
It's Eddie Murphy's comeback, I would say. But Wesley Snipes a little too. I think Wesley Snipes never cared for a comeback. He just like hates the government.
No, I think he just needs money.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, saying he just like enjoys hating the government.
Oh, probably. You know, yeah,
a little too much.
Not his. Is that? Well, it's his fault he didn't pay taxes.
Oh yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm just saying that's what he's enjoying to do. But this movie is great. It's raunchy. It's graphic. It's fucked up. But fucked up in a really funny way. And it really hammers home as far as biopics go.
Yeah.
For like up and comers, artists and stuff. It really hammers home the idea of like you're gonna get rejected 30,000 times before you get your first yes. And the idea of Dolomite, or the character Eddie Murphy's playing, is no, doesn't take no for an answer ever. Like if or it takes the no and like okay, I'll go some other way until he finds a way to get through. It's a really inspiring movie in that way, despite even if you're not into the kind of humor he does or whatever the fuck, it's still, you can still feel that, and it's really nice.
Cool.
Really a fun movie to watch. Super hilarious. Dolomite is My Name. It's on Netflix. I recommend everyone check it out. I think everyone in this room and in Palm Springs will enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just glad he's making good movies again and not those kid movies.
Oh man, yeah, those kid movies.
Well,
gotta
I think
go.
He's in his. I think he's doing his. He's now in a different part of his life. You know, he when he had his kids, they were young. He wanted to do stuff for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Now they're older. Now he can do stuff for himself.
Fuck
again.
Your kids.
Fuck the kids. Well, he made a lot of money with those movies. So
hey,
yeah, I can blame him.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, if that's what he's into. I mean, obviously, we're not into that, but that's fine. I have another movie. Last movie here is Little Women. I saw the latest version of Little Women. It's like the fourth one.
Probably.
I think so, based on the book that was written like 120 years ago or something. Joe March.
Oh, you have the first pressing because you bought it on day one.
See? What'd I say? Yeah, that's the thing is that with Dolomite's age, I was too old for those movies. I was like, nah, get off my grass movies. So that's what I said. Little Women, shut up. Joe March reflects back and forth on her life, telling the beloved story of the March sisters, four young women, each determined to live life on their own terms. And it does sound preachy a little, but it really isn't. And this is movies made by Greta Gerwig, the lady who brought us Lady Bird, the lady. Yeah, the actress slash...
Still haven't seen that.
Great. Well, really? You haven't seen it? It's really good. I like it.
Yeah.
The girl from Roseanne's in it. I know.
That's helpful.
Laurie Metcalf, that's what I meant to say.
You mean the Connors?
The Connors, yeah. The Connors. Anyway, this movie, though, stars Saoirse Ronan. I can never say your fucking name. Emma Watson. Florence Pugh, who has been, like, it's been the Florence Pugh year. Florence Pugh, sorry. Laura Dern's in it. Eliza Scanlon, sorry. I forgot to mention that one. Tracy Letts, Timothy Chalamet. Bob Odenkirk is in it for a bit. Chris Cooper. Really good Chris Cooper. Two Chris Cooper movies are off that we got in 2019 when we saw nothing for a couple years before. He was the father in Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, sorry. That's the other one.
Yeah.
Anyway, this movie is really fantastic. I've seen, I think, three out of the four renditions of the adaptations, and I never read the book, though. I think it was a school assignment, but I don't think I read it. I think I skipped it. Anyway, because it sounds, you know, whatever. I wasn't interested in it. I am very interested now, though. And I saw this this rendition of it. It's really good. It is modernized in the style of what they talk about or how they respond to the same topics or problems that the book holds, because it's still a period piece set in those times. But the flourishes of like emotion and humility that Greta Gerwig injects into the script, like when you where in the book a character would end the line here, she would add the extra line kicker almost like to it, right? This is one scene that everyone who's seen it already know what I'm talking about that I'm not mentioning here. But it was really nice, and the performances are really great. I totally recommend it for anyone. It's probably my favorite Little Women adaptation, and I really like the '90s one because I grew up with it. So, but that's I'm a little biased there. But yeah, anyway, I liked it a lot. Still in theaters.
We all know you like Little Women.
Yes, thank you, Luke. Wow. And just get it all out now. All right, so that is it for recent discoveries. That's what she said. And you know, I really missed you, Luke. Anyway, yeah. So we're gonna go. That's it for recent discoveries. We're gonna talk about the Oscars right now. Raf, since you're the one who has a little bit of a time crunch, what did you think of this year's Academy Awards?
I thought it was cool, I guess. I don't know what they were trying to do with the music stuff, because they had random musical guests. Eminem.
Eminem.
And at the same time, I like the no host anymore. Also, the no host slash host, where they have a bunch of people host while they're due, but they do all do like a little monologue thing or whatever.
Yeah, that's what they did last year, right?
Yeah. I liked it last year, too, because it felt refreshing. And this year, I felt like they just all felt confident. Or a lot of people felt confident up there.
Hmm.
Specifically, that's not annoying at all in my earbuds. Sorry, an alarm went off. And I felt specifically two characters felt very comfortable out there doing their whole shtick, which is cool. Overall, like, the show was cool to watch. It was, I don't know. I think this hostless thing is probably just going to keep going. There's no reason to have a host anymore. You could probably have two main people or a main person to kind of do stuff, but you don't really need it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I still felt there's commercial breaks galore because the show started, what, I guess 7:30, 7 o'clock?
Yeah.
And then around like 11:30.
There's always commercials.
I mean, it's longer than a football game. And there was as much, if not more, commercials on this than there is in a football game.
I think football, when it comes to sporting events, the commercials come around the game, wherein the Oscars, it's not. They can cut the commercial whenever they want.
Right.
You know, so that's why. But yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I mean,
not host, obviously, because no host, but like, who's your favorite introducer? Mini host in the. I mean, I would say besides the Maya Rudolph slash.
Kate yeah, McKinnon, those are the two I was talking about.
That was something else. That was man, I'm not gonna wait all the names. Anyway, yeah, that was obviously the best one.
Those were
I'm saying.
Ones, yeah.
Like, do you have a favorite? Like, I liked I liked with Keanu Reeves and.
That was okay. Yeah.
And Annie Hall. That's not her real name. Dan Keaton, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really funny to me. You saw that, right, Luke?
I only saw, like, towards the end of the thing because I was at work.
Right, okay. Yeah, I think...
So I saw, like, the last maybe 5-6 awards, maybe.
Gotcha. It was really funny because Dan Keaton is, like, clearly, like, in awe of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's so hot. And she's just, like, acting like a schoolgirl. And it really worked, that bit. Really
it
worked,
was,
really.
Yeah. It did. What I did like a lot was the musical performances overall. I liked the Frozen song, for example.
Dolly.
The Frozen 2, that was great.
I like the song more now.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really care for it.
It was
like,
okay, right? Not like original Frozen.
But I really liked the way they did it. That was really nice.
Yeah.
That was a really good way to also, like, teach people, like, yeah, you know, they do this in every language, or like a lot of languages.
Right, and it was super cool just to kind of pick.
They even did it in some languages I've never heard of.
Yeah, yeah. It was cool to pick up all the different languages and all those actresses or people who sung the song for.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was really cool.
And it was really nice to all of them out there. It was really good. It was a good.
Yeah, besides the obvious snub to, it was hard because it was a hard year for the Irishman to win anything, I guess, because
it's
such a good movie, don't get me wrong, but it was just like a lot of good movies.
Yeah.
I also liked the. I thought the interpreter worked her ass off for Bong Joon-ho.
Dude, she fucking earned her commission.
I mean,
dude, she fucking she went up there four times.
Yeah, she really did.
Was it four times? I think.
Yeah,
it's insane. That was crazy.
Right, and it was actually really cool to see the kind of the fan nerd. This director is to Hollywood, right? And to big Hollywood directors, and he's giving thanks to current people who are still working, obviously, like, what's it called? Oh my God, I just lost
Scorsese?
His name. Scorsese, and then you have Quentin Tarantino, who Quentin Tarantino was a fan of his movies, and obviously they share love for each other and stuff like that, and they've championed each other. It's cool to see.
Well, he's younger than them, so he grew up with their movies,
right?
And here he is
winning,
like you know, over them.
Over
well, not
them.
Saying like oh, not, like yeah, that, but you know, it's like.
But he kind of is,
yeah.
And it was cool to see it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of cool stuff overall. I had fun with it. I don't know. It wasn't as controversial. I also liked the speech. What's his name? Gave for best actor.
Joaquin.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix. I like his speech. I like his speech that it wasn't. He did the normal thanking to people, but really he just kind of. Everyone does something political, but his didn't really feel political. It was more like, hey man, everyone deserves a second chance. It is what it is.
I would say it was a little bit political, and it was. It's like the.
But it wasn't
Francis
like
McDormand speech, right, from Three Billboards Outside of Missouri, Shatter thing. I don't know who did it last year. Every year it happens.
No, I know every year it happens, but this wasn't. Right. Didn't feel preachy, I guess. It just
I felt a little long, but it wasn't preachy. No, I didn't feel it either.
Yeah.
Lexi loved it, by the way.
She
doesn't watch many Oscars.
She? No, she doesn't.
No, I mean, she doesn't watch them. That so she's like, it's not new to me to expect it.
I just wish I knew what the Academy wanted to do with the show. I know they do like the regular hits, like we're gonna play every song. We're going to introduce things. This we technically had the host who played the two songs, who started the show off. I forgot her name already, but I'm bad with names. Sure, yeah.
Wait, the one who sang the
yeah. But I'm bad with names, so I couldn't remember.
I just saw her in a movie like yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then that show on HBO, The Outsider. I was like, I've been watching her a lot lately.
Oh, that's why.
So, yeah, she's in my head.
So, yeah, with her. That was cool. I mean, like I said, overall, I don't know what they want to do, though. They introduced, like, their random thing with Eminem.
I don't know why it was there, but I liked it.
So did I. Don't get me wrong. But it was just like, oh, okay. And then I just feel like the In Memoriams always comes in weird times.
Billie Eilish, right? That was good, too.
Yeah, that was a really good rendition of the song, too.
Yeah, I liked it.
But I just feel like I
don't know. I thought it was whiny.
You thought it was whiny? Okay.
Yeah, her voice. I just
Her voice. Oh, if you don't like it, yeah, that's gonna sound.
See,
like
now
that.
You're sounding like an old man.
You are sounding like an old man.
Yeah,
but besides that, I don't know. I didn't really.
What'd you think of the winners before we have to?
Well, before I go,
yeah.
I wish I saw Parasite.
Oh man!
I mean,
that's right.
Same.
Right. What else did I wish I saw? I wish I saw Little Women, and I bought the tickets for my wife to go see it because she went to go see it with her sisters, and I was like, "I'll go with you guys." But then I was like, "Oh, let's go, Girls' Night Out." Don't worry about it. Go watch it by yourself. And then I never went.
You could just sat somewhere else.
No, I could have, but
I'm just saying,
meh.
For next time, maybe it's too weird. I don't know. You drive there together, but you leave separate.
Right, yeah, that would be weird.
Yeah, maybe that's not good. But, if you guys ever get a chance, I mean, I was obviously, I'm not saying it's a competition, like, to watch Parasite over Little Women, but it's my number one Parasite, so obviously I want to see
it. And I meant to
Parasite.
Watch it, and I did try to watch it before, the week before. It just, shit happens. I mean,
I know, the day before the Oscars, you were like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch it. The day of, I'm like, oh, really? Cutting it close, aren't you, Chief?
Yeah.
And then you had that nap, or you were doing something else. I remember I texted you, and you were about to later. I'm like, okay, he's not gonna watch Parasite.
Oh, I fell asleep. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
But yeah, the winners were cool. Like I said,
any standout wins from the movies you have seen that you liked a lot or didn't like?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Well, I knew Joker. I thought Joaquin Phoenix should have won for that role.
Okay. Yeah, you
like
the movie.
And I did like the movie overall. I did think that Adam Sandler got snubbed also, just overall.
Okay, yeah, so Uncut Gems. Your number one movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a little whatever. But, yeah, I mean, nothing really too surprising besides, I guess, like I said, Parasite winning. I guess I thought I could have had something else win. For best animation, I didn't necessarily.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a weird one, right?
Yeah.
But I felt like they just gave it to them.
Yeah.
That was whatever.
Like every year.
Like every year, yeah.
Right. All right. So I think you have a heart out. So
I do. So I'm gonna head out.
So Luke, it's just you and myself right now. And you and I will talk about because Roth talked about mainly about a lot about the ceremony, which I don't have like a lot more input to do. Anyway, so I didn't want to talk too much about the ceremony because I agree for it mainly and don't have a lot more input than Roth did. And I know you missed most of it, Luke, because you were at work. So let's talk about let's talk about some of these like categories in general and the wins or the noms. And we'll start with you. What did you think overall of the, obviously minus Parasite because you haven't seen it yet. Like, what did you think of the way it shaped out? Like the way, like any standout, like disappointment, or like stuff that you really liked?
I was happy that Jojo Rabbit won at least something.
Oh yeah, screenplay. Was it original? I think so, or adapted.
Adapted.
That's right. Right. You saw that like a month ago, right?
Like right after I came back. I don't know. So I'm not sure if I saw it late December or early January.
Got it. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't put Jojo Rabbit in your recent discovery. You should have talked about it.
It was over a month ago, so.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. I really liked it. For a screenplay though, that was a good pick. I liked it because I know I was struggling because I was like, oh, The Irishman's really good writing though, and I was like, oh, but this movie also really good writing. But I was happy with Jojo Rabbit for sure. Obviously, Parasite won for original screenplay.
Yes, it did.
Of course. And I was when that happened, I was like, it was a bittersweet moment because that was the first Parasite win, right, for screenplay. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it probably is. I mean, I probably think Knives Out and Parasite are like neck and neck for me as far as like.
Okay. Really good. I never saw Knives Out. It's on my list of things that I need to catch up on.
Oh, dude. You're going to love that movie. Yeah.
So the only thing I saw from that was like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That was the only thing from original screenplay.
That's funny. Also a very good script too, I'm sure. But like, but I figured we've seen Tarantino stuff a lot. And Knives Out is really good. That's the tightest script ever. But anyway, so I was super glad that Parasite won, but I was bittersweet because I was like, oh shit, are they going to do this thing where they're just going to give him that, like that win? And then... Nothing else.
Right. Well, you know, that didn't happen.
Right. Well, I mean, I also felt strongly that it was going to win best foreign movie. That makes sense, too. But then when it won for director, I was like, bro, no way. I can't believe it. Like, I just couldn't believe it. For a second, I was worried that Todd Phillips was going to win for Joker. And I was like, I don't want Todd Phillips to win anything, ever. And, like, I don't think that movie's...
Why?
I don't think that movie is that great. I don't understand why people are sucking its dick.
I saw it after everything. Yeah. Like, I didn't see it when it came in theaters because I just missed it.
Yeah.
And I just picked it up when it finally came on, you know, digital.
Right.
And so after all the hype and everything, I thought it was still good.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it's bad. It's good. I just don't know why people are elevating it to like, great. I don't think it's, like, that amazing. I don't think it requires it to be, other than Joaquin Phoenix, I don't know why this movie is nominated for anything. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's good. There's a lot of movies that are great that are not in this, or in this Oscars, you know, or that either deserve or don't deserve to be there. And I don't think
You are...
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Joaquin carried that whole movie.
Oh, yeah, he did. So. He carried that. I mean, his win, even though, like, I don't like the movie that much, like, I don't love it that much, I should say. I like it.
Well, it's well-deserved.
Yeah, it's well-deserved, I think. So I would agree that they got it for the right one. So that's cool. But yeah, it was really, like I said, the directing one, I was worried because I didn't know who was going to win. And I was like, but I was so glad Bong Joon-ho won. That's great. It's the first South Korean, right? I mean, it's the first. I mean,
I think it's the first foreign any movie to win.
I think South Korea. I mean, this movie broke a couple records. I think on the Academy Awards. I think for the screenplay because. For screenplays, they tend to pick movies that were written in English. They never, you know what I mean? Because
right.
Parasite was written in Korean. So, like, this is the first foreign language script that won. It's the first foreign language movie that won Best Picture, which was amazing. And, it was, you know. Hey, did you see Ford versus Ferrari or no?
No.
Okay.
I didn't even think that was going to be nominated for anything. I thought it was just like a little biopic type movie. And I was actually surprised that it got nominated.
It is a biopic. You know what? You know what that movie is? It's, I mean, you would call it It's Meant for Me because I'm old. But it's an old person's movie. It's like old people movie. It's like a feel-good movie. Uh-huh. That it's like the one movie that everyone is safe to go see in theaters because it has Matt Damon. And it's about him and Christian Bale, like, laughing it up, building cars. Like, it's like...
Right.
And it's about America doing America fuck yeah times.
America.
Know? Like, it's about, you know, all that stuff. And the movie is not that good, honestly, Luke.
Okay.
Like, I don't understand. Like, there's stuff in it that's pretty good, sure, but, like, they made decisions in that movie that I'm like, just call it Ford movie. Don't call it versus Ferrari. He's barely in it. I don't understand. You know, and I don't know. The biopic, I don't know. I don't know why it was nominated so much.
Well, if they called it Ford, it would probably break down. So they had to put the Ferrari name.
yeah. I mean, I get why people love it. I guess I didn't think it would go this high. It's like the Green Book of the year for me. It's like the one movie, like, okay, I see why you guys like it, but why is it up here? But whatever. You know, it's like the Green Book. But it didn't win as much as the Green Book did.
Gotcha.
But it did win, like, for best sound mixing or something like that, right? Sound editing, I think, too, or something like that. So I got a couple wins. So, but no love for Star Wars. I never have. Did I get your opinion on Star Wars?
No. But I did see it as soon as I think that was my first thing, because I came home from Alaska, like, I came home on Christmas Day. So the day after, I was like, I need to go see Star Wars so it doesn't get spoiled for me. And I liked it. I dug it. It was cool.
I really liked the action in it, I'll tell you that. But otherwise, I didn't super love it. I don't know if you heard our review. But yeah. I mean, I got it for what I think Star Wars nominated for sound and special effects. Almost every time those movies get nominated for those two things. They have a really good special effects team or CGI team, whatever. Let's see. What else? Oh, man, did you...
Let's see, sound mixing and editing, I mean, those are all the same thing.
It's not, but it is. I mean, you tell a sound engineer, they're like, no, but to me, they are too. So, you know, whatever, man. Right? What did you...
Did you watch any of the short films?
No, none of them. None of them.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance either.
Yeah, I missed all of those things, you know, because there's always like a two-week period, or less even, where you can either rent... or go in theaters and watch like all the shorts in one sitting, and I didn't get to watch any of them because there's usually some time to do that, and I didn't get any time to do it. What did you think of Brad Pitt though for Once Upon a Time? Did you like that one?
Oh yeah, that's his first one ever, right?
First win, not nomination.
Oh, I thought it was nomination and win.
No, okay, he was nominated for that Benjamin Button movie. Remember?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. I forgot about that.
Although it's technically Brad Pitt's second Oscar, though, because he was one of the producers in 12 Years a Slave, and that movie won Best Picture.
Right, but you don't really know him as a producer. You know, as an actor.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying. Technically, it's the second one. But you're right, not as an actor. You're right. Not as his main career choice, I guess. I really wanted Joe Pesci to win, though, for real. Mm-hmm. Did you see The Irishman?
No, I haven't.
Holy shit.
Remember, I was in a place with very limited internet. I couldn't stream or watch anything. Okay.
But Palm Springs, though, from what I hear, has plenty of internet, right?
Yes. Great. We have internet here.
You should really watch
it. And just not enough time to watch everything I missed out on last year.
Oh, that's true. Well, if you get a chance, The Irishman is really, really good.
Right.
And Renee Zellweger winning for Judy. I never saw Judy, so I can't...
I didn't even know Judy was a movie.
Yeah, it's a biopic.
Until before this show.
Biopic on the Judy Garland lady. So, like, I mean, I think on the biopicness alone, you might like it. But, I mean, she's always a good actress. I mean,
biopics are my thing.
I know they're your thing. That's your dessert, right? That's your entree. Yeah, you should. I want to see it. I didn't prioritize it because, not only because it's nominated for one thing only, but, like, it just looked like, okay, great. Renee Zellweger just coming back. She's doing something. That's cool. But I wanted to see like 50 other movies instead. I kind of wanted Scarlett Johansson to win for Marriage Story. But Marriage Story didn't get any wins. That sucked.
Dude, I didn't even know that was a movie that came out. I saw like things of it, but I'm like, oh, well, I wonder when this is going to come out.
Yeah.
It looks like a very good one.
Yeah. Oh, you saw it?
No, it looks like a very good movie.
Oh, it looks like a very good movie. Okay.
I think it's something like, you know, like... probably low budget, but like high intense acting. I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like
I think like you know like not like CGI or like Avengers, right. You know, type of budget
right.
Where
yeah, you're right.
Everything's a green screen.
No, there's none of that. Almost everything is indoors or right. Walking. Yeah, Marriage Story should, I mean, it should be called Divorce Story, first of all.
I think
it's a harrowing rendition of a couple breaking up. It's at least it felt that way to me at times. It's a really good movie. It made my top 10. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. And Scarlett Johansson and...
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
It's a Netflix one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Okay, that'll make it easier to watch.
Yeah, exactly. That and The Irishman. So they have two big Netflix movies nominated, a bunch of things.
Right, I heard Netflix got a lot of movies this year, but none of them won anything, right?
No. I mean, like, I think... did Irishman win anything? No, right? You're right. I think...
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. You're right.
I think Netflix just got snubbed.
Oh, no, wait. Laura Dern. From Marriage Story, she's a supporting actress. She won one, so
okay.
I guess that's one for Netflix. But yeah, but Scarlett Johansson gets two nominations for two different things, for two different movies. That's cool. For mm-hmm. Jojo Rabbit and Marriage Story. That's kind of cool. Kind of rare.
What do you think about the original song?
I mean, even though I didn't like love that movie, the Rocketman movie, I really like that song. So I'm totally on that side.
I saw, I saw Rocketman sometime last year. I don't know if it was on like a plane or something, but I was surprised it was a musical, but I still, it was all right. I dug it.
Oh, that's right. You didn't expect it. What you thought it was going to be like a more of a biopic only and not a musical.
I thought it was going to be like Bohemian Rhapsody, just like a biopic of Elton John.
Right. I mean, it is.
They hit you with those musical numbers, and I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah. That's why it's funny, because that's what made me like the movie more than the norm. But and that song, I really liked it. It's a good original. I didn't know it was an original song at first, actually, because it sounds like part of Elton John's purview, you know,
his repertoire, you know?
His repertoire, that's better. So like, I didn't think it was original until I saw these nominations. Like, holy shit, that's an original song. I'm like, I thought maybe it's one of those hits that I missed, you know, because he's done so many songs and I just maybe don't know them
right. And it's funny because a lot of songs that I'm like in the movie and I'm like, holy shit, that's an Elton John song, never knew.
Oh, really? So like, it's like a hit song that you've always known. You just didn't know he did it,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it when that
same
happens.
Same thing when I was what?
I love when that happens. Well,
like when I was watching Blinded by the Light. Same thing. Yeah. I'm like, hey, this is Springsteen. Like I had no idea.
Yeah, that's funny, right? That's funny how life works out. Yeah. I feel the same way about some old songs or old bands too. But yeah, from the best original songs, it's the only one I would have nominated. I don't want Randy Newman to win anymore. Okay. Into the Unknown is okay. It's okay.
I haven't seen Frozen 2 yet, so mm-hmm. I'm going to buy that for my niece and nephew and for myself for when it comes out.
Yeah, just watch it with your niece, basically. Roger Deakins, cinematographer, obviously, for 1917, totally deserve. I mean, they all deserve it, honestly, yeah. Except for the Joker.
So there's always one thing in 1917, every time I see a trailer for that movie, there's always that one scene where the guy is just like running through this field.
Yeah.
And like another soldier's going right past him and he trips. I'm like, I wonder if that was intentional or it just happened and said, fucking go with it.
I don't know. I mean, that'd be a good Blu-ray, right? Like commentary. But
yeah, it'd be like, yeah, I busted my shit there, but I just kept going.
I broke my leg, actually. That's how good of an actor I am.
Right.
Right. Yeah, but the whole idea of that scene, that's the last scene of the movie. Well, not the last scene of the movie, but
thanks for spoiling.
Towards the end of that movie. Well, okay. If you're expecting it throughout the movie, I might as well just tell you now it's towards the end.
All right. I did have a funny joke because I guess film editing was Ford versus Ferrari, right? But The Irishman was also nominated, and I heard that movie is long as shit.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's not going to win editing.
Oh, I see now. They didn't edit anything out. Actually, the real movie is like 5 hours long.
Everything stays.
Right.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No. Yeah, the editing was... It totally threw me off, man. Yeah, I mean... I would have picked... Jojo, Parasite, or Irishman, and then I didn't get it. It was... For some reason, Ford versus Ferrari, right. And I don't understand it. I saw that movie. I don't get it. I don't know what's so special about it. But that's fine. That's one of my disappointments, probably, because editing is a big deal. Anyway, for animated,
did you watch any of the?
Yeah.
Oh,
go ahead.
Did you watch any of the documentaries?
Oh man, where is that? I'm looking for it right now. What's on there? Oh, yeah, here it is. Let's see. I only saw one, and that's the one that won, American Factory.
Is it good?
Oh, yeah. It made my short list. It almost made my top 10. It was like in my number 12 or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know any of them this year, so I was like, oh, this sucks.
Oh, shit. The doc guy?
Oh, it's a Netflix.
The doc guy doesn't know anything of these docs?
Hey, man, I was, like I said, I was in a very dark place.
Dark.
I was actually literally dark.
Yeah, 30 days.
Because I was in that town where 30 days in there. Yeah. It's more like 60-some days,
okay.
though.
It's okay. Well, you have time to catch up. Yeah, so American Factory is on Netflix, so you can catch that pretty easily. Edge of Democracy, I think.
Sweet.
Is that on there, too? It might be on there. Honeyland. I hear Honeyland is, like, really fucked up. Or, like, has fucked up, like, imagery. Like, things are happening in it, like the conflicts and stuff. Hmm. It's pretty harrowing stuff. So, like, don't be squeamish. But I know you're not squeamish, so if you watch it. Hmm. I haven't seen that, but that's why I hear. But I hope okay. I think that's what I heard about it. But I mean, some of these other stuff though is so close for me. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know, for like original screenplay, I don't know why 1917 is on here. Sorry. 1917 is like the easiest, not the easiest story, but like, I don't know, seems very strange why that's on here. Best score though, it got, Joker. That's the second Joker win, I think. Yeah. That's weird. No John Williams. I would have gone with, like, I don't know, actually. I don't know. I don't remember any of the soundtracks for these movies. Like, none of them come to mind.
Yeah, I rarely ever remember any of that.
No, usually like there's always like a sound or something that I remember, but I'm not getting any from the list right now. But
I just remember that sound from Inception.
Oh wow. The Yeah, like the foghorn thing, but not really.
Yeah, that blare thing, yeah.
The blare thing, yeah. Yeah, I'm kinda glad Bombshell didn't get anything. It was nominated for a bunch of acting things. Bombshell, did you see that?
No, it only got makeup and hairstyling, and I wonder if that has any, because I mean,
oh,
that I think
right.
is well deserved.
So yeah, I thought that was like, it felt like a joke win, because makeup and hairstyle, because they have to make the actors look like they've been makeup and hairstyle like they're on Fox News, because like I said, so the actors are makeup and hairstyle for the movie, and then they're makeup and hairstyled extra to look like they're on TV every day. And I was like, is that why they won? Because they did a meta,
I don't know,
makeup and hair.
I just think they won because of how they made, what's his name? Look.
Oh, the guy who runs Fox, right? I forgot his name.
Right.
Yeah, I forgot the guy who plays him. Anyway, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, maybe. That could be it. That could be a part of it. I mean, they did have good makeup, but all these movies have good makeup on them, so I don't know the difference. I don't know anything about makeup, so I don't know. But besides that, it got nominated for like three or four acting performances, and it's like, it might be one of the weaker movies on this entire, this, like Bombshell, Ford versus Ferrari, and on a personal basis, I think Joker. All those three movies, I don't think are that remarkable enough to be here. But those first two especially, I would say. I mean, anyone would agree they're not that amazing or anything. But I'm glad that Laura Dern won, though. I mean, it's been a long...
Oh, John Lithgow.
Huh? John Lithgow. That's right.
John Lithgow.
That's right.
Yes. John Lithgow. Oh, yeah. It was killing me.
Yeah. But I'm glad that Laura Dern won, though, for best... for Little Women. Oh, no. For Marriage Story. And for supporting actress. Like, it's... I mean, she just deserved it for, like... I don't know, five other movies, but like, I'm glad she got one for Forever Now. That's great. I really like that one for her because she's always a good actress. I like her and stuff. But I think that's roughly it. I think we covered almost everything here. Anything else you want to add?
Animated feature?
Toy Story 4. That's really the best one on there. I mean, what do you think?
I don't know any of the other ones. I mean, I heard of Missing Link, but you know that's not going to win against Pixar and How to Train Your Dragon, same thing.
Okay, so I actually saw one, two, three. I saw three of the five, And out of those three, Toy Story 4 is a better... I mean, I'm not saying it's better animated. All the animation are different styles. So that's obviously just a part of perception there. But the stories are like... The story in Toy Story 4, I thought, was more appealing.
It was good. It was. I liked it.
It was really good. It was surprisingly better than I... I'm surprised they make all these great stories out of out of this franchise. But they still pull them out, so it's really good. I liked it better than I Lost My Body, even though my Lost My Body is by like a close second, because it's a really good, interesting French movie. It's pretty adult.
Well, the
though.
French don't win.
Huh?
The French don't win.
No, the French don't win, I guess. And then How to Train Your Dragon, it's like the end of the trilogy. I thought it was okay. Like I thought it was better than 2, but
Q?
Still, you know, still not the best.
You better than which one?
Oh, How to Train Your Dragon. This was the third one.
Oh.
And I've seen them all in theaters because I really love the first one. Like, I love the first one. And like, I saw it in theaters and it fucking blew me away. And I've been watching them ever since. And obviously, they're not going to hold a candle to the first one. But the third one is better than the second one. But like, it's not like that much better either. And I didn't see Missing Link or Klaus. Ruff said that Klaus was really good, but he didn't care for Missing Link that much. That's what he said. Because he took Leo to all these movies, so he's seen them all.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but I think that's roughly it. Is there like a movie that, I mean, we never got like your top 10, for example, or anything like that, but is there...
Yeah, I don't think I even had 10 movies.
Oh, really? Is there like a movie that
I probably did, but...
would have put up here to nominate with all these other people in movies? You would like to see?
Honestly, no, because... Yeah. I mean, some of the best movies that I did see were already here. Like, you know,
oh, okay.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, gotcha. Joker, Jojo, you know.
Gotcha. Would you, I mean, did Jojo Rabbit get nominated for a director too or no? I'm curious.
What was the question?
Oh, no. See, I would have liked if Taika Waititi was nominated for best director, but he wasn't. That would have been cool. I would have loved to see that. You could have taken out Todd Phillips.
Todd Phillips?
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that.
Fucking Todd. Anyone named Todd should just not be here. Yeah. You know, that would have been nice because that movie is, it's really good. It's really emotionally impactful and also really hilarious. It works on both ways.
Yeah,
it's so good.
I dug it.
I'm glad you dug it because it's a good movie. It's also, I mean, I get why people find it controversial, but I didn't. I moved past it right away. It was no problem for me. It was great. But nothing else comes to mind, though, besides those, what you said?
Nah.
That's all right, man.
Like I said, it's been a rough year for me, so.
That's okay. Are you going to, so I'm not, obviously you may not know your plans, so I don't know how you're going to answer this. How is this year looking for you? Like, are you going to be in Palm Springs?
No, I'm only here for a little possible extension, but I should be home mid-March.
Oh, until you get called again, or do you have plans for that already, or are you staying here for a while?
Nothing for the summer, really, but I'm pretty sure I'll probably get sent out somewhere else again.
Gotcha. Well, hopefully you can catch up to some more movies. We can have you more here, if you want, obviously. Not that you have to. It's but are you going to... Now, well, by the way, everyone who's listening, because it feels like I'm just talking to Luke, like, personally, but I'm not... we're ending the show now. That's it for the Oscars. But, like, I'm trying to get plans for the best decade list. So we're doing our top 10 movies of the decade. You want in on that?
Yes. Yes, yes. I'm trying to narrow down some movies right now.
Yeah, I nailed it down. I filed it down from, like, 200 and something movies.
Jesus
I nailed Christ. It down to 54. I'm at 54 right now.
Oh, my God.
Dude, it's so impossible. It's impossible. I don't know how I'm
going to
do it.
I believe you because it's going to be rough going through 10 years of movies and saying, okay.
And don't just like rely on, because I went through like Wikipedia is my first always source to find all the movies that came out in a certain year, right? I went through there first and I wrote them and I typed them all down, right? And then don't just rely on that. Go through multiple sources because they don't often highlight foreign movies, for example, or documentaries, you know? They don't highlight those. So, like, you're going to have to, like, remember or, like, go to some other sites to find other movies that you're going to forget, right? So, I'm just saying, because I've been remembering movies, like, holy shit, I forgot about The Handmaid, and holy shit, I forgot about, you know, Certified Copy, and I'm like, fuck. And I just keep adding to the list, and it's like I'm never happy. So, I'm just
like,
but
it's only going to be like our what we loved from that decade, right? Nothing like.
Well, you make your top weird. You make your top 10 however you want. If you feel like it's better to highlight the top 10 to pick, you know, your number one for each of the years. I mean, I don't think that's very. I don't think that's good for your soul. But if you want to do it that way, totally fine. If you want to do a top 10 where like these are the best movies that you want everyone in the world to see, meaning you're highlighting movies that are not super well known but that are amazing, you can do that. You want to do a top 10 just personal, like these are your favorites, I can watch these movies 10,000 times a week, highlight, then do whatever you want.
That's what I might go for. Yeah. Might be a little easier for me.
I mean, that will definitely be the easiest. I'll have to mix mine a bit, because if it were up to me, it'll be half action movies and the other half would be like fucked up, like sci-fi movies probably. So like I'm gonna have to mix it up, because I want to have representations of different kinds of movies for me. But yeah, it's your top 10, man. You do whatever you want in top 10, but as long as it's you know, makes sense, I guess. But yeah, so you're gonna join us in for that, and that's probably gonna be well, this comes out this week, this show episode. It'll come out, I mean, before the end of the month for sure. So it'll probably come out next week, if not the week after. But yeah, this is the end of our show. You have been listening to Another Movie Podcast. Off, you know, Twitter accounts and stuff is all on the show notes for the show, if you wish to do so. And Luke, I'll add yours in here. So no worries there. It's blind.
Did you ever take it out?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think I just copy and paste it every single time. So I'm pretty sure it's
still. I think you do too.
Yeah, so it's probably still in there. But if not, I'll add it in, because I know I have everything saved in one doc and it just like move things around. So if it's not on there, I'll add it on there this time. Because I don't know what I did over the year. But you're on Blind Noir on Twitter if you people want to follow
not
you.
Not anymore. You know? I changed that over a year ago.
Oh, fuck. What was it called? What's it called then?
At Slothmaster Luke.
Then I don't think I have you then, because I think. Okay, well then Sloth Master Luke. You know, you're so lazy, like a sloth. That's why you said that. All right, so that's great to know. That's great to know here now. Yeah, so we'll see you next time, Luke. You'll come with us. And until then, I am Oscar. And you are?
And Luke.
Nice. See you later.
Coffee and pie.
Coffee and pie, oh my.
You didn't hear it from me.